Good morning. Thus far in all the talks that I have sent out, I haven't said that much about the coronavirus and these troubled times in which we are living. But I want to share some thoughts with you upon that subject today. This isn't particularly well scripted, but these are just thoughts that I've had, and I have been turning over the matter day after day, really. A lot of people are asking the question, why? And then some are saying, is it a judgment? And of course, we need to ask the question in response to that. What do we actually mean by the word judgment? Is there any kind of judgment in this world? Or is all judgment reserved for the world to come? One thing we know is this, that whatever crisis arises in this world, we must know how to think about it, guided by the Holy Scriptures. Not every calamity is a punishment. Not every crisis is a judgment. And that reminds me of some words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse 1 to 4. The Lord makes reference to a couple of matters. First of all, to the slaughtering of the Galileans by Pontius Pilate at a religious festival. Jesus said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? And then he answers, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He also makes reference to another calamity, 18 people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. And he says, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And again he answers in the same way, Luke 13 verse 5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we mustn't assume that everything, every calamity and every trouble in the world is necessarily a punishment or a judgment. It ain't necessarily so. But then we have to think that while we mustn't assume that these things are invariably the hand of God gone out against humanity, that occasionally there might be times when God does judge. Now we know, of course, any judgment that happens in this world is not the final judgment. That is reserved for the world which is to come. That is reserved for the end of the age of grace. But we could use the word judgment in some sense with regard to certain troubles that happen. And if we deliberately violate good wisdom and God's good counsel in the Scriptures of truth, then of course there's going to be consequences for it. Just those consequences will just naturally flow from our actions. For example, Galatians 6 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we are told that COVID-19 was a result of bad food or dietary hygiene, and some sources believe that it sprang from a wet market in Wuhan, which sold both live and dead animals, including fish and birds. As a result of that, well, we can say that this is a calamity which has happened. It's not necessarily God stepping in and intervening and directly inflicting a judgment on people. Nevertheless, while we might not strictly speaking call it a judgment, we can certainly say it's not a favour either. It may just be taken as a sign of God's disfavour, God's shaking the world, God's turning things upside down. C.S. Lewis, when he was commenting about suffering, said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a dead world." So then we might ask the question, what is God saying to us through all of this? What is God saying to the world? What is God saying to the church? And what is God saying to me? What is God saying to the world? Well, he's saying to the world that things do not continue on without any change. And we're living in a fallen world, and it's a world that is full of groaning and travails. Romans 8 says, "The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And we have to recognise that these pains and these groanings are pointing towards the climax of the age of grace. They're pointing toward the time when Christ will come and when we'll be gathered before his throne to give an account of ourselves. So the Lord is speaking to the world. He's reminding sinners in the world of their need of preparation through faith in the Son of God. What is God saying to the church? Very often the churches are able to point out the sins of the world, and they're able to say this is happening because the world has done this and the world has done that and the world has done the other. And unless the world changes, there's no hope. But really, we might say with greater force that unless the church changes, there's no hope for the world. And God is saying something to the church today. I think the words of 2 Chronicles 7:14 are most appropriate here. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." So the Lord puts his finger on the church. And then finally, what is God saying to me in all of this? Well, he's telling us as individuals that we're mortal. He's certainly saying that. And he's reminding us not only of our mortality, but because of our mortality, the fact that we will meet him one day. We're not here forever. We can't hide away from God. We will meet him one day, and we need to be ready. The only way of being ready is to have our sins confessed and put under the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin."